Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Dual Screens Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana. That was a hard to get out. And with me
is a great start.
This is great. We're batting 1,000. Well, it is baseball season. And with me, as always, is Andy Asimakis. How are you, Andy?
You ever like come across a game, Stephen, and you think that this game somehow those who made it got into your brain and made it just for you? That it'd be a game you'd be really, really good at. This is one of those games, I feel.
I don't disagree. It's one of those games, folks, that you said, how is this not a thing and really popular?
Why is it only now
that this why is this in my life at this moment? Did somebody listen to my Saturday nights as a college student with my friends watching terrible movies? What are we talking about? Well, I'll tell you what we're talking about. Joining us this week, actually a return, but in but to the new format, is Jim Dershberger. And we have Mark Zorn here, a first-timer, developers of What the Dub? The multiplayer party game where each player overdubs missing dialogue from hilariously awful B-movies, outdated PSAs, and bizarre industrial films. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
This is going to be fun because, party games kind of exploded over this past summer, and it's going to be real interesting to see how this one came about. But for those of you that are new here, like Mark, this is the Dual Screens Podcast, the world's number one indie developer interview podcast, probably. We don't really know that, but it's probable because there's not many out there. So
hey, prove me wrong.
Yeah, right. You show me the numbers, all right? You show me the numbers. Everyone in the gaming industry, be it a developer, a programmer, an artist, a voice actor, the idea guy, which there's a lot of those out there, everyone has a story to tell, and this is their platform to do it. The show posts each and every Friday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice, including our home, Podbean. We're also available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, everywhere. I think I said Apple Podcasts, but literally everywhere. And if you're listening on my Apple Podcasts, please leave a review. It helps the algorithm. It's like, hey, this people are listening to this. Listen to it. It really does help us out a lot. So please, please go ahead and do that. And if you want to support us with your hard-earned cash, you could do so by going to patreon.com/NDS podcast, just like our Patreon producers, Vegas Girl on Fire, Colton the Apprentice Nestler, and FNH Paul. We cannot continue to grow without all of your support. Now, let's dive into the show with our new, well, it's not so new now, but
it's been a while.
It's been a while, a few months now. It is our ceremonial lead-off question. Andy, take it away.
This is like a two-parter. I want to ask first on the onset, who was the one between both of you who would subject yourself to watching all this old garbage? I'm thinking
mostly
of Mark.
Yeah.
So we split the efforts, but it definitely wasn't 50-50.
Okay. All right. Now, with that being said, I'm going to point this question directly towards you, Mark. Okay.
Yes.
How would you kill a brain that wouldn't die?
Well, first you gotta cut a head off.
But it just won't die, Mark.
Then you gotta put it in a basement with a hairy creature, apparently.
Yeah, you do.
So far I'm following this now.
Well, and then you just gotta hope for the best.
Well,
I was the lazier of the two. I took most of the commercials and PSAs because they are all like under five minutes. And Mark was the poor soul who had to take on the like 2 hour, you know, post-war 1950s trash sci-fi.
Good
just
Lord.
Hoping, you know, on a wing and a prayer, hoping for a clip that we could use in the game. And there was a few, was like one or two movies where you watched the whole thing and just we got nothing out of it. Couldn't use any of it.
Oh, that's the worst. That is the worst.
And I questioned what I was doing with my life and why I was doing this.
I'm not sure like if I was more impressed or more sad that I knew. I watched the trailer a handful of times. I was like, oh, that's House on Haunted Hill. That's Killers from Space. That's the brain that wouldn't die. I was like, why are all these things in my head? I shouldn't know that these things exist. But I do. And I think it's more sad is what I want to really say at this point. But you brave, brave soul. That's a lot of trash to wade through.
So let's set the table here.
Yeah.
So you're watching these old things, and we briefly described the game as a party game where you're overdubbing just bad stuff into and making it hilarious. Can you just explain what this mechanic is like? What is this actual the game actually like for the player?
Pretty much that. It's pretty simple. You start a game in kind of a traditional party game format. You get a room code, set up your room. You can have up to 12 people join you. So you can have 6 players and 6 people acting as like an audience who vote. And you just jump in. We show you a clip. The clip has a missing line of dialogue. And then on any, you know, web-enabled device, very similar to most party games, you just punch in your replacement. But I think the difference is with us is that we then take your line and we dub it over the clip using text to speech. So you get to hear your dialogue in the movie.
Oh boy.
And we do some other stuff where you can not only add, you know, your replacement line, but you can drop in sound effects. So, you know, if you want to like accent it, or you just want your response to be, I don't know, a fart noise or someone screaming, there you go. Yeah, you can do that too, and it's great to mix and match. So then all the clips are played back. You don't know whose is whose, you vote, and then you go to the next clip.
Is there an opportunity to record your own like voice stuff?
That's something we played with, and I've done it, but kind of with the party game atmosphere, you're all in the same room or you're on the same Zoom call. Sure. So like it kind of gives away who's doing what, or you're gonna pick up background noise. If we ever did a kind of more isolated, you know, everyone's in their own house, you know, maybe on Xbox Live or, you know, PlayStation Network or something, then that's something I definitely played with. We also found that not everyone's a voice actor, and some people get scared of having to record their own voice. So,
I'm just wondering, like, what it would cost to get the rights to have Sam Jackson just saying "motherfucker" in like 8 different ways, to just throw that in there. That's my line, motherfucker.
Yeah, having some like some ringers. You know, if you're like stumped, you're like, all right, go to the motherfucker.
Go to the motherfucker.
Hit that and. You know, hey, if the game does well enough, we're open to anything.
Yeah. So interesting enough, there's a couple of text to speech companies out there that will take like voice samples from people and make a voice for you, right? Yeah. They read this stuff. You know, maybe that's something in the future where you actually make it. It's expensive. It's not cheap.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
It was a little over our budget, but you know, you could have some Arnold Schwarzenegger reading dub back, and
that's fantastic. And, but you could, I mean, could you have just, you know, bad like. Impressions, is that allowed under parody law? Can you just have like somebody just doing impressions?
Yeah, I don't think anyone
like,
owns their voice,
right? Okay. I mean, I am positive that Arnold Schwarzenegger has at least insurance on his voice, but definitely most likely has some sort of IP for like, I mean, obviously for parody and impressions, it's different, but like, I don't think you, I don't know if you're, I don't know that. He's such an iconic.
Get him
voice.
On the show. Let's call him.
I should.
Yeah,
I should. I should. It's really easy. I heard he's very, very like he's got a very open schedule right now.
He's got nothing going on.
That's what I heard. I don't know.
So I need to know, where did this thing come from? Was it like watching some riff tracks or Mystery Science one night? And you're like, you know what? This could be a fun party game. What's the genesis of this project?
So the original kind of prototype I made almost 4 years ago, I think, for a game jam that I did. The theme was kaiju. So I found a whole bunch of Japanese kind of kaiju movies, right, on YouTube. I literally just kind of chopped up the YouTube clip, and it was all on the web. Mm-hmm. It was all very, very janky because I made it in a day. Mm-hmm. But it was the same basic concept where, you know, you would enter what they were saying. It was Japanese. We had no idea what they were saying, so you could really just make it up. And yeah, so that was the very first version of it. And then as we're making Freedom Finger, especially towards the tail end, optimizing for consoles and whatnot, I literally had riff tracks on one monitor all the time.
Yes.
Because it kept me sane as I'm trying to optimize for the Switch or, you know, work on the Xbox port. And we watched.
I would like to just point out that keeping sane means watching Cool as Ice 17 times in a day, you know, like a certain kind of sane when you're in those
I'm
movies.
I'm not sure that's how you're supposed to do it. I think you're doing it wrong.
Either way, there's going to be therapy. Either way.
Yeah.
So Rift for X on Twitch is just a loop, right? And they update the loop every week or whatever it is. So yeah, you will see the same awful, awful movies over and over again. But there, we'd get favorites and we'd, you know, post in Slack, oh, Roller Gator's on again. We got to watch Roller Gator right now. And
said no one ever.
Yeah. And then, you know, during pandemic, my good friend Quasi, who actually made Shotgun Farmers, we were sitting around outdoors around a campfire. And he's like, you never did anything with that game. That's the best game you've ever made. What are you doing with your life? Essentially. I'm like, well, right now
you made Freedom Finger. It's like, what about that?
Yeah, thing no, just that, made? You know, I mean, he enjoyed
make a good Finger, game now,
but he was like, no, you're never going to do anything better than that. That was your best idea ever. Make it. And so that weekend, I opened up my editor, my game engine, and made a prototype of it. And that's then, so cool. And then here we are. I don't even know how long ago that was now, but 8 months later, we got a game coming out.
Wow.
And it's been awesome, primarily because the process, I think, of making this game versus Freedom Finger, it's the opposite in every single way. You know, there's we have little things like artwork. You know, we didn't have to deal with an hour of animated, fully voiced cutscenes. We didn't have, thousands of sound effects files and hand animated sprites that we're managing. We didn't have gigs and gigs of content. There's no storyline. There's no branching paths. There's no, shooting and melee, all the things that we dealt with that I think makes Freedom Finger kind of special. We almost went in a completely opposite direction. And every time there was an opportunity to go big, kind of like we did with Freedom Finger, which was just indulging everything that we ever wanted to make in a game. Like, I want licensed music. Great. We'll get 40 songs. We'll have Aesop Rock do original music. You know, we want actors. Let's get Nolan North and John DiMaggio to do it. Like, fuck it. Just go big. This was like, no, we're going to do something very, very focused that for people of, Jackbox style games or fans of Mystery Science Theater, like where those two meet, this will be the game for you. We do one thing. I think we do it really, really well. And we just, had that discipline, which was completely different than what if we added a new gameplay mode 2 years into development? why not? And we did it and it worked. But for this, it was a good change of pace.
Yeah.
So who do I speak to about having our first copyright strike on this, on our YouTube channel, for our gameplay, for our first play of Freedom Finger? Who do I speak to about this?
Talk to the attorneys, man.
I almost forgot about that.
Yeah. Remember? I was like, but it's like the game.
Digging up old wounds now, Steven.
I'm analyzing the game. I'm like doing whatever.
We got copyright strikes on the game as well, and we have the license. We're legally able to do that, and it's really this gray area because in the music licensing terms, we try to use our own terms, and part of that was not to get too into the legal side of it, but there's a clause where we can allow others to use our license for marketing promotion. So if we give Nintendo a trailer that has licensed music, don't go sue Nintendo, everything's cool.
Right.
And I interpreted that as being, I see streaming, I see Let's Play, I see any kind of promotional streams as that promotion. And the record companies don't quite agree. They see it as its own thing. And a lot of our attempts, we got contacted early on by streamers and content creators are like, hey, can you do any, I want to cover this game. And we would try to extend our license to them. And sometimes YouTube accepted it. Sometimes the label, YouTube accepted it, but the labels didn't. And it was generally a huge mess.
It went away. So we had it there and I wrote, this is, informative. I am doing a review.
Transformative.
Like I am not just sitting here playing music. I wrote the whole thing. I said, here is my interview with the developer. Copy link. I'm like, I'm not
a, good enough.
And no, it did. It took like 3 months, but eventually, yeah. It just came right. It came off eventually. I assume they just got too many requests saying no. That, I mean, that's ridiculous. Because it is, it's kind of silly how that licensing works. But I didn't mean to like completely derail.
No.
But like that was always fascinating to me because it's something that, especially on Twitch, like everybody's kind of dealing with right now. There's modes now in games that remove the licensed tracks. Like Cyberpunk had a thing where you go like, "Oh, are you streaming?" And you click yes, and it got rid of all the licensed tracks and gave you just the generic music. Like your Freedom Finger, you can't do that. Like you designed the game around the music. Like it was such a beautiful and awesome and adrenaline filled experience that you really can't replicate that with some garage band stuff or like whatever.
Exactly, because we had talked about that. We talked about having, and I think we had it in the game and we took it out. There was a streamer feature that basically limited the game to the levels where you're least likely to get a copyright strike, like right. The smaller artists, and we're just like, this feels so lame. Dumb, we can't even really guarantee it because you know, rights change hands. Like a lot of the trouble we had is we licensed from company A for, you know, a certain band, but then the band moves their rights to a different rights management company, and then they're like, hey, you don't have a deal with us. We're like, yeah, it was 2 years ago with this other company. It's a mess.
Do you have to deal with that now? Answer. Like what? Like so you had that with the music and now you're taking all of these movies and all this stuff. Was there any sort of trouble getting all this? Like, how does that work? Are these like public domain films? Like how does that work?
Exactly. It's, you know, we started kind of cast a big net, you know, what do we generally think is in the public domain or what do we know of as being accepted in the public domain? And there's been examples of usage. You find that, you kind of dig into the clips, you find the clips, and then the last step was then if the film is kind of somewhat, you know, in a gray zone and we can use it and it's worth the time to go through it, then it was a process of going back and checking and verifying it. The other thing is there's a few like footage houses that like you can go and you can buy public domain footage. Not so much for the rights, but for the quality. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want like a high quality version, HD quality of like, I don't know, I Love Lucy that you want to feature in your film or something, which is public domain, I guess. Didn't know that. But like you would go to these guys that give you the footage and you're all set. But then it's like that extra verification. So we're able to kind of check our library against the sources of a lot of these places. And if they had it, and we could verify the copyright. So it was a lot of boring homework. It's just like, you got to do your homework when it comes to copyright. And also, you know, it's not bulletproof. Just because we've done our homework and, you know, we've had legal review doesn't mean that someone who made, you know, a 1951 PSA about puberty is going to come out of the woodwork and be like, you took my film, you know, like, and try and sue us. Like, it might happen. That could be good for the game too.
Have you had any moments where you had something that you wanted in the game so bad and then it just said, nah, we can't use this?
I think there was one or two clips that I found that were PSAs that were a little bit later. They were like in the early 70s and there was just no way to verify it. And I just, you just throw it, you know, it's not worth it.
All right, go ahead, Andy.
No, it was like I was just thinking about like if a movie is basically its full version free on YouTube, then I think that's basically it's up for grabs.
It hasn't been pulled up from YouTube.
Right.
You know. Yeah.
That's a good gauge. You can find most of these old shitty films on YouTube. I'm wondering, as you're going through all this stuff, and this is from Mark specifically, what was like your biggest waste of time? Like, what film did you watch that was like just mind-numbingly stupid? Like, I got nothing out of this. that's like an hour and a half of my life I'm never going to get back.
I wish that it definitely happened on a couple where I got three quarters of the way through and I just gave up. I'm like, I'm done with this movie. This movie is giving me nothing, because for our game, it's more than just like, it has to be ridiculous, right? Or it has to be silly, because the dialogue has to work. It has to, there has to be like a question or a call response or some interesting situation where you can make the dialogue work. So it's harder than kind of, you know, your riff tracks are like, oh, that's dumb. You said a dumb thing. I'm going to make fun of it. Right.
Right.
You have to build it in. Man, I'm trying to think. I watched this Jerry Lewis, like he's in the army movie. I got one clip, I think, out of that. I watched the whole damn movie. I got one clip out of it. Not very good. Some of these movies are just so obscure too that like I literally don't even remember their names. I probably have them on a hard drive somewhere, but I tried to erase them from my memory as soon as like you gave me nothing, so I'm not even gonna dignify you with a spot in my brain.
doesn't get filed in the filing cabinet. That's
unfair. No, on the other hand, some clips were gold mines, or some movies, right. You know, I'd come up with 50 clips and then we'd watch them and you're like, oh, that we whittled that down to 20 or 25, and you know, that was great. And those movies were very good.
Is Plan 9 one of the movies?
We didn't actually use Plan 9. Maybe for an update.
I'm surprised. Plan 9 been in that trailer, like,
yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Tor Johnson, baby. Look at big old Tor Johnson just going in there. Who the hell is that guy? Hey, that guy's large. Bring him in the movie. That movie was so ridiculous. Like, goodness gracious.
We do have, you know, I found some lesser known movies of like Jack Nicholson that were public domain and whatnot. So there are some stars that actually show up in there. Oh. And we also, you know, we want to add more content as things go on. So we saved some of the easier ones, I think, for some of that too, because
I think right now there's just over 300, which if you're playing the average, I think like 5-round game length, you would have to play the game, what, like over 60 times to ever see one repeat. So there's already enough like kind of bang for your buck, but I think, yeah, we're talking about maybe doing like just general content updates, but maybe doing like genre packs.
Yeah.
So here's like sci-fi clips that maybe you could prioritize. Like if you just want to see the new stuff, or if you want to watch just horror movies or whatever your tastes are, that's definitely something that, you know, we've talked about.
Cause I'm thinking, at what point is it like, here's the anime pack, or like, here's like the bad video game pack. Like, those like early, like PS1 N64 games with actual spoken dialogue.
I would love that. We were talking about this recently. I'm like, it would be impossible because none of those are in the public domain, and you'd have to really, it's a legal nightmare, but man, what a game that would be, you know?
Yeah. It's also funny. You know, I have a small TikTok that I post some of my game dev stuff as I'm building stuff and, you know, take feedback and like, what do you think about this? And one of the things I posted was like, what kind of genres do you think we should have in the game? I was thinking like Westerns or sci-fi or horror or whatever. The responses were Star Wars, Marvel, anime. I'm like, well, I can't afford any of that. So that's not going to
happen. I'll get on that.
Get Attack on Titan, Naruto, all that.
That's easy.
You know,
that's really easy.
Just sell some kidneys, you mortgage your house, and you're good to go. All for our amusement.
Kidneys do not go what you think they go for, Andy.
Assuming my bank,
and they'll go for something.
I was going to say, assuming my bank account could even afford that, I don't think Disney's even going to let me. They're not going to give me the rights.
No, but they might give you the license to make a Disney themed version. That's where you gotta get.
Or they
on the
just
phone.
Steal the idea and do it themselves.
Nah, they don't. They don't make games themselves. They let other developers make games, and they just cash that that check. You guys should make that phone call. Let's do it, man. Let's get in there.
If we're gonna do a licensed version of this, I want to have the official. I want to do the official Mystery Science Theater 3000 game. You know, like
absolutely.
Do it with those guys.
So what is a typical round, or like, are there different types of rounds of the game? Is like, cause I'm thinking of like Jackbox, where like they change things up a little bit as you're playing. Is it something like that where they're like, hey, you know, in this one, you're writing a line in this way. In this one, you're writing a line this way, but here's the topic. Like, how does it vary the gameplay? Like how does that change? Or is it just like your 5 rounds, you're just going straight through?
Yeah, it's pretty much that. You know, we, you know, I was talking kind of about like the scope is there is, I think, some discussion about how do we, you know, do we want to mix this up? Do we want to have kind of like a grab bag of different games? Mm-hmm. It's kind of, no, you know, we really like this. We like that this game is about making fun of bad movies. And, you know, it's like the bad movie night. We talk about being like the evolution of bad movie night with mm-hmm. Friends. And yeah, I think there's, with the variety that we have, it feels fresh enough. And the different sources we pull from, you know, you could find like one clip from, you know, the 1950s sci-fi movie, but then you're getting a PSA about, you know, farmers growing arugula or something like that. And you're just like, what? And it just like the variety of the clips is bizarre because there's so much weird shit out there. So it's almost like the content itself by mixing up the tone kind of keeps the, yep. you know, the approach fresh.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, we talked about it, and you know, you are, you know, biggest comparison is going to be to Jackbox, right? Because yeah, it's very yeah. similar. You know, they have a party pack that come out, it's at $30, and I feel like most of the time I play one or two of the games, and I don't even touch the other ones after like the mm-hmm. first go. So like, we were talking like we can add this and that, and we're like, well, let's just do the one thing. Let's price mm-hmm. it appropriately, right? It's an $8 game. And you're going to get a few hours of enjoyment out of it each time you play it with a group of friends and provide enough content so that you can play it a whole bunch of times without, you know, seeing the same stuff, even though I've seen the same clips now hundreds of times and I can still come up with fun stuff to do with it. But yeah. And just kind of like Jim said, do that one thing, do it well. And, you know, maybe there's another game in the future.
Yeah.
As you guys were sort of playtesting this and, you know, showing it to people, what were some of the craziest answers you got in some of these scenarios that really like tickled your funny bone or that made you like, you know, shoot chocolate milk out of your nostrils? That was that good.
It instantly goes right to the gutter, you know, like we're doing, sure. we're doing a bunch of streams. We're doing a bunch of streams with yeah, friends and
it's sort of, and... it has to be that way.
It's like, you know, okay, hey, this is gonna be a public stream, it's recorded, people are gonna see this when we launch and everything. And it's just like right to the dick jokes, you know. Mm-hmm, it's just like everyone's just like, this is gonna be the tone for the game. Nothing wrong with that. We do have a bad word filter though, if you're you know,
I was gonna ask about that. How do you keep it? Like, do you censor, do you bleep naughty words, or
It's up to you. You know, we kind of put in a few options like that, kind of more focused on streamers if they wanted to, you know, if they wanted to extend it to their audience. So there's a bad word filter and extended time, and you can hide the room code so you can play and not have people join if you don't want to, things like that.
Nice.
I think the bleeps make it funnier. No, I don't know. I think it adds a little bit more than just hearing the actual curse words.
Well, you can also self-censor because there is a censored sound effect. So you can use the censored sound effect and it's just a beep if you want to.
That's actually funny. Like, just the whole response is just one long beep. The guy's just doing beep.
You.
That's like, I think one of my favorite ways to play, or when we were doing Freedom Finger and like censorship was a big issue, was we created that overdub mode where you can listen to the dialogue, but we just did like the cable TV, like overdub, you know, you're watching like Goodfellas.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, you know, you mother flipper, you know, and it's like clearly an overdub. It's not even the actor. So I just went in and overdubbed all the swear words with like, you know, whatever I could think of, and it's not mixed, it doesn't sound right. Like that's a true way to play that game.
How soon can we play with you guys is my next question.
Ooh, that is a great question.
That has to happen at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, as soon as this game is out, I think we're trying to get a bunch of streams together on launch day and beyond. We got some good stuff that we're doing right now with friends that we're going to roll out on the day of. But yeah, we should book that because it would just be a lot of fun.
Hell yeah.
And it would probably get us banned from a couple platforms, maybe.
Well, that's the goal. That's the intention. It's gonna make it so filthy. You're gonna regret all your life decisions.
I mean, Andy will make it filthy.
I'll make it classy, but also filthy.
I'm more of the Judd Apatow, like Will Ferrell, John C. Reilly humor. Like that's the kind of stuff I go for. He goes for like, I don't even know what you he like the, I don't know, Norm Macdonald, Andrew Dice Clay. Like that kind of stuff.
With a little bit of like, you know, Fraser Crane in there. Like just, I gotta, well, you know, keep a little bit classy.
We gotta, classy penis jokes.
That's, right, exactly.
That's what you're, yeah,
like,
you're,
I'll use words like grundle, you know?
Right. Like, you're there for the penis and flatulence jokes. Yes, I see. Not the dick and fart jokes, but the penis and flatulence jokes. Yeah.
Yeah, high-end stuff, like the Andrew Dice Clay. You
right,
know?
Yeah, like that really right, highbrow right, stuff. Right. Yeah, you like that. You like that.
You ever watch any of his like classic stand-ups, you know, like when he was really at the
zenith, height? Yeah,
like the peak. Yeah.
Yep.
Dude, I love that stuff. There's one stand-up special. It's called like one night with Dice, guaranteed to offend. He's like New Jersey or whatever, and he just comes out, he's doing like the nursery rhymes, like little boy blue, he needed the money. And then they go to the crowd and everyone's like, oh, like people are losing their fucking minds over this. Like it was just earth shattering comedy.
Have you seen his series Dice?
No, I haven't.
You gotta watch it. It's really, it was short lived, but there's one episode where Adrian Brody is basically playing him in a movie and he's shadowing him and he becomes like another Andrew Dice Clay.
Wow.
And it's like they're fighting over who's the real Dice. Like, I'm Dice. I'm Dice. I'm Dice. It's just, it's incredible.
I love him. I got to check that out.
So, you know, 8 months? You put this whole thing together in just 8 months? Because like you said that and you kind of just brushed
through that.
I mean,
the work's already done there. The work's done. It's like,
oh, let's give some credit. The work is never just done.
It's curation.
Yeah, I mean, roughly, I feel like it might have even been quicker, honestly.
Showing off.
Yeah.
About $8 worth. That's how quick it was.
Yeah. Right. No, I mean, I think, you know, obviously it was many hundreds of hours. It took quite a while, but I had nothing better to do in lockdown.
Yeah.
So I worked on a game. I made a game. Right. And it's coming, you know, it's all the console ports. So you got Switch, PS4, 5, Xbox, One, SX.
Man, so how many frames per second are you boosting on the Series X and PS5? How many?
How many extra we're like 1,000 frames a second.
Wow. I mean, and they only shot those at 24.
Like, I know. Yeah. Is it an 8K on the Series X? So I just need to know.
It isn't, because most of our videos are like 640.
I'm waiting for the digital foundry. I'm waiting for the digital foundry comparison on this game.
Yeah,
unfortunately, most of the source clips were very low res, right? Too. So, but yeah, I mean, obviously, it'll scale up.
Your logo will be real, real 4K.
Oh, though. Super crisp.
Oh, yeah. Super 4K.
Most
crisp
thing in the entire game. That and the UI.
Adobe Premiere, After Effects, never been used in a bit more high definition.
You like some machine learning shit to like,
hell yeah. Checkerboard that shit. We're gonna checkerboard that. Checkerboard those old clips. Get Sony on the phone. Sony, let's hit us up with that checkerboarding. What can you do for this video?
God, I'm gonna watch deepfake that shitty movies tonight. You guys, you have no idea.
I'm excited to discover shitty movies.
I love it.
Like so in college we used to watch shitty movies, but like I didn't know like there was a whole underground group of people that like adore these movies. Like it was when The Room came out, and then we realized there are other The Rooms out there. Because always thought like shitty independent, like the shitty movies you think of were independent movies. They came and went. They were, or nobody ever saw them. But like some of these movies were like, no, we put a lot of money into this. It's a it's a big budget thing. It has a real studio behind it, but it's just awful because it's the 32nd movie they made that month. Like they used to make movies in like 4 days. Like
totally.
I think it's a lot harder to make a good bad movie than it is to make a good movie, because I think everybody, you know, everyone can look at like Kubrick movie and be like, oh, symmetrical, I can copy, you can buy the same, you can use the same lenses that he has, emulate all the techniques to emulate good. But when someone like a Tommy Wiseau or, you know, whatever it is, like whoever the filmmaker is, like has a genuine, makes a genuine attempt to make something good, but fails, like has a systematic breakdown in every way, shape, and form, how they execute that film, you end up with something that is like just distilled pure, like bad, and it's cannot be emulated. You can't, like, you look at films like, what is it, like The Asylum or whatever, they try and, you know, it's kind of like bad films on purpose, which just doesn't have the same kind of feel to it, you know?
If you have the intention to make a good bad film, you're going to fail immediately, because it's not, you can't go in thinking, oh, it's going to be in on the joke as I'm making this. But it's just these old films, it's a victim of they're dated and just how dialogue was written back then. And there's that cheesy charm factor that today it's like, this is funny. It wasn't meant to be, but I can't get enough of it. And you can't plan for that. You just can't.
I know.
How I feel like I got started on the bad movie kick is, I think it was freshman year of college. I went to visit a friend in another college. And her friends or like roommates or whatever, they were obsessed with Troll 2.
Oh my God. Is that in this?
It's not, because it's not public domain.
No.
God damn it.
We couldn't afford Troll. We don't got Troll 2 money, you know?
They literally made their own grandpa's
shirt. Piss on hospitality, Mark.
They made their own grandpa's shirts. And like that weekend, 3 days, we watched it 6 times. And it's just like, it's amazing. But yeah, going back to what you were saying before, like I was looking up, like I said, there's an old Jack Nicholson movie in this. Like they shot that movie in 4 days, which is insane.
Which movie is this? I'm just curious. Which
The one Terror, it's called. It's Jack Nicholson and Boris Karloff.
Wow. There it is.
That's a pairing.
Yeah.
And it's blowing the mind a little bit right now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, it's an old Roger Corman movie.
Let's make something very clear. Just because it's a name, it doesn't mean it's going to be
movie. No. But just seeing those two at the same time on the screen, it's like it's firing off all sorts of things in my brain right now. It's like Vincent Price and like Johnny Depp and like Edward James. It's like it seems weird.
Yeah,
and it's also I think if you're like Mark, I've always been a fan of horror movies, and I think you're exposed to more bad horror movies if you're a fan of that genre. Like you kind of expect the schlock, you expect like, oh, I can see the zipper or the strings, or like you kind of love the movies despite those flaws, and sometimes those like an Evil Dead become super endearing because of just the effort that went into it, and maybe it's not as convincing as The Exorcist, but it's got way more charm and way more personality. But yeah, I think like Mystery Science Theater and like Riff Tracks definitely opened me up to like the larger like scope of bad movies in terms of like, bad dramas or things like that. And it's there's just so much out there. The Room is just it's the best probably like gateway bad movie. For anyone who's like new to that.
Yeah, that's I actually, the way I got into them, well, it was when The Room came out and somebody tried to get me to watch. He was like, no, you just have to watch it. And I didn't understand why people liked it, because I hadn't been exposed to that world yet. And a friend of mine said, you need to watch Plan 9. And I was resistant to it because like that was like the OG, like famous terrible movie. So so the way he got me into it, because I was very resistant to it because I just don't like having my time wasted, was he showed me the Ed Wood movie,
Tim Burton, right?
Yes, yeah, it was with Johnny Depp, and he showed me that, and then I realized, oh, this person put his entire soul into this. And it failed on such a level that it deserves my time. And that's when I went in and I watched Plan 9 and then I watched The Room and I was like, no, you, if you're looking at it from the person who poured everything into this and you understand that everyone, like I've been in bad movies, like I'm a Screen Actors Guild member. Like I've made two feature films that I could tell you right now, I think I'm funny in them, but the whole movie as a whole is pretty terrible. It's a pretty bad comedy, but it's like almost on that hilariously awfully bad, you know, stitched together with $60,000 movie. But like, I know.
Don't you love to hear stories like that? Like, yeah, I always find.
Yeah, that absolutely.
Just makes me like, I, you know, this was in high school, totally obsessed with Evil Dead. And I remember reading Bruce Campbell's book and he talked about the, I forget the guy's name, but he did prop design for them. And he was putting all of his hard work and basically all of his money into making props for this. Mm. I think like so much so that he actually got scurvy because all he was eating was like macaroni and cheese every day. Like he had no money. He went to the doctor. He's like, I'm sick. He goes to the doctor like, yeah, you have fucking pirate's disease, dude. Like you don't have any vitamin C in your diet. And because, you know, God. And you hear, what was the other one? Rob Bottin, the guy that did all the special effects for The Thing, John Carpenter's The Thing. Yeah. Like
that's like the gold standard, by the way, of practical effects.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He checked himself into like a mental health clinic after that shoot because he was so fried from just living and breathing this film and the pressure that came with it. Yeah. And then, so you hear things like that, and then you watch the film and you're just like, all right, this is my movie now, you know?
Yeah.
I love that stuff.
Yeah. It when you see, you could see, I think that's what makes them so great is that when they're passion projects and you see how much love and, you know, an actor went into making some of these movies thinking like, this is my big break, right? Like, this is the one, this is the one that's going to be on the big screen and I'm going to see myself and you go, wow, I did not know
but it's all,
the rest of the movie was like that. Like
it's just, what it's all ham.
Yeah. What happened? But believe it or not, games like yours actually could possibly breathe new life into these movies too. Because, I mean, if you look at what The Room has done, it did open a door for a lot of people to go back and watch these movies. Mystery Science Theater did the same thing. Riff Tracks, I'm not 100%. I don't really know that one as well. But, you know, I grew up on Mystery Science Theater. And, like, you do get curious. Like, oh, what other movies are out there? And, yes, they're public domain and everything like that. But it's almost like it's almost like they don't get lost to time when they could be revitalized and repurposed in new and interesting ways. So the game is actually, I think, doing a service for these movies that – if I made a terrible
preservation,
movie.
It's preservation.
Yeah, it's definitely a form of preservation. Like you're gonna look at. We used to have those old VHS games, those board games that you had to put a VHS tape in that would do something
still
similar.
Got those.
Yeah, they would do something similar like that, and you're like, "What is that?" And like the oldest person in the room will be like, "Wait, is that?" And then they would pull up the. Yeah, that's so and so. She was in this movie, and like the you know, and then all of a sudden you go down this rabbit hole of like, oh, this actor did 52 movies that year, and this was like movie 31, and they later like killed themselves with you know, because I mean that shit used to happen. They used to work like so
got
hard,
dark really fast.
They used to work so hard. These actors, like back in those days, the studio owned you, and you didn't know what the hell you were making. You would get a new script. Memorize it, you go like okay, and they would stitch together this project, and then all of a sudden, all right, it's out, and it's like okay, your next movie's out in 6 weeks. It was insane back then, but like yeah, it's, you know,
that's why they say all the old when we were working at Paramount on the Paramount lot when I was directing over there, and we were talking to one of the security guards, and like I've heard rumors that like there's certain parts of the, you know, the back lot that's haunted. You know, have you ever seen it? He's like, it's weird. Like there's some, cause I mean, some of these sets, they've been around for decades, you know, they've shot every film, especially their backlot, like their mini New York or their little Chicago section that they have. It's got a vibe to it. There is some of that dark energy there, you know?
Yeah. That's really cool though.
Yeah. I could tell you, Jim, working now for Viacom, I've heard a lot of horror stories, like out of the old Paramount days that would really blow your mind one day.
Ooh. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the best is if you watch, what is it, Robert Evans, The Kid Stays in the Picture, mm-hmm. where he talks about, you know, saving Paramount and all the things, like the company was almost lost at one point. Mm-hmm. It's the dark side of the entertainment industry is it's a deep, dark pit, and there's really no bottom to it. But that's, maybe that's a game. That's our follow-up.
Yeah,
it's always entertaining, though. That's all.
Yeah. That.
But
Despair on the Silver Screen, coming to Switch next year.
Despair. I just want somebody to make the movies too. Do you remember the game, The Movies? It was, I think it was Lionhead.
You and that game.
I love that game.
That game.
They need to make that game. At least put it out. We can't buy it anywhere. It's gone. It's delisted from everything. How upsetting is this?
Yeah, I still have my CDs or DVD copies.
Yeah, I do too somewhere, but I don't have a CD drive. Who does? It's unfortunate.
No one's made a knockoff version of that.
Can't find anything, and I would love to, man. I think, Jim, I think this is it, man. This is the one. you get this one, and
is the one.
You use the cash from this one to fund that one. You know what I mean?
Like that's the next one.
That's the next one. Yeah, but all you make is B movies.
Uh-huh. Oh, right. Yeah.
All right. Call it the B movie lot. There you go. Done. All right. So let's get into rapid fire here. Because, this conversation has already been rapid fire. This is great. Andy, why don't you start us off? You take us into our rapid fire to start off.
We have two
guests. So we have we have other lists here that we like to go that are this or that or put you up against each other. You know what, Andy? While you're looking yours up, I'll give one of the easy ones.
You go.
Okay.
You go.
The other one of you has been arrested.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Jim, what was Mark arrested for? And then Mark, what was Jim arrested for?
Oh, Mark was definitely arrested for some sort of hacking or phishing scheme, identity theft, identity theft.
Wow. Okay, that comes
credit
with some time.
Skimming.
Wow, skimming credit cards. Jeez, do I want to buy this game now? Wow.
I was going to say, what gave you that impression?
Well, I mean, if you had to get arrested for something, it would be logically based off of your skill set, and you'd probably put it to work to, you know, it's a compliment. You're right. Talented enough to rip people off.
A
man.
Technological con man. I see.
I see. I feel like Jim is probably going to flip out at some sort of movie or TV executive and showed at his house one day.
Ooh.
And what goes down from there is anyone's guess. But,
right. Yeah.
Aggravated assault or worse.
Aggravated stalking. Yeah. Oh boy. Okay. Andy, go ahead. What's your question?
Okay. And you can both answer this. We can have Mark go first and Jim go after Mark. Would you rather begin every sentence with, "Hey, idiot," or end every sentence with, "I'm just kidding"?
Hey, idiot. That's not that different from how I talk, let's be honest. I have a day job, and let me tell you about it. No.
I think I would go with the "just kidding" because, I mean, it's basically a get out of jail free card for everything you say.
Mm.
You thought I was serious? I was just kidding.
I feel like that's a cop out.
But when your little girl goes, "I love you, daddy. I love you too." I'm just kidding.
Those are the breaks, kid.
Then again, saying to your daughter, "Hey, idiot," is too good to pass up.
Right.
You're giving the eulogy at somebody's funeral, like, "He was a good man."
Yeah, he was a
kidding.
Good soul.
He lived a long and prosperous life. Just kidding. Would you gentlemen rather have the power of flight or invisibility?
Man, this is like a window into are you chaotic good or evil here?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it is.
I feel like invisibility has so many nefarious options, but man, flying sounds pretty cool.
I think flying, you know, if you think about it, it's like, oh yeah, you're flying, this is amazing. I think it'd actually be really cold up there. You know, I think flying would be kind of inconvenient and just a generally unpleasant experience. If you're just a human being just flying like 40,000 feet up in the air.
Ooh. Yeah.
I want to sneak into like the White House or Area 51 or something. I want to be invisible.
I mean, straight up, I'm robbing some bank and I'm set for life and I'm just making games. so I'm going invisible. So
hell yeah.
Yeah, right. Invisible is the way to go.
Really hope that the CIA and FBI are not watching this show.
You know, unfortunately, I'm don't sure have that are. Ability.
Well, yet.
No, but so far you're skimming credit cards and you're robbing banks. So we're everything's getting a little. Listen,
I didn't say I was going to skim credit cards. To be fair.
If we weren't on watch lists before, Steven, this podcast.
This is it. This is the one. Oh, we're definitely on a watch list. That's for sure.
Would you rather have 500 tarantulas crawling around your entire house or have 1,000 crickets with you in the same room?
Crickets are gross.
Crickets are chill, though.
Tarantulas are dope.
I don't know. I have a thing. Like, I'm fine with small spiders, but I have a thing with bigger spiders that kind of freak me out. So I think I'd
with hair. Legit hair on them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what's like the cleanup ratio? You know, you step on one of those crickets, you just pick it up. You step on a tarantula, that's a bad time, you know? No. They got some pudding going on in there or something. I don't know what's inside of them, but it's probably really
is my house insured? How soon can I burn to the ground?
Yeah. Just give me the crickets.
Yeah. I don't like the arachnophobia, hairspray can at the lighter going on.
All right.
Do your best John Goodman impression.
Yeah. You're at the family barbecue. Okay. Uh-huh. What are you picking up? The potato salad or the macaroni salad? You can only choose one.
Potato salad.
100% potato salad is far superior to any kind of macaroni bullshit.
I got to say the only time I even eat macaroni salad, which no one will probably know what this is on a garbage plate, which is a Rochester, New York thing where it's, other than that, it's potato salad all the way.
Would you rather have a choice of being asleep for an entire year and lose a year of your life, or have one day, it's a great day, but you're fully naked for the entire day? And you have to go about your day, like go to your job, go to your stuff, go shopping.
Well, if it's today, no one would even know.
Mark's not even wearing pants right now. So he's already halfway there.
Neither is Andy.
It's true. It's very true. In the simpler non-World on Fire scenario where things were normal again and we were outside.
Also, living in Los Angeles, I feel like normal is relative. I feel like I could go to Trader Joe's naked and people would be kind of down with it, you know?
Yeah.
It's
the third one today. What's the difference?
I got nothing to hide. Here you go. Here it is.
Whose dongus is that? Oh, that must be Jim again.
This day and age, though, man, you're getting filmed 7,000 times that day.
I would probably
have to sleep
for a year. Yeah, that's rough.
Well, I mean, if you're naked but acting normal, I think that kind of goes against, like, you know, if you're standing naked on a street corner just like foaming at the mouth.
I feel like that job interview is going to be like, why were you naked on the street that day, though?
Well, it was either that or sleep for a year, sir.
Yeah.
I'm about productivity.
Right. I got shit to do, man. Okay. Like, I can't lose a whole year. All right.
Okay.
Oh, that's a hard one.
You've rubbed your lamp and you have your genie, but this genie is not as good as most genies. He's got a lot of caveats. First of all, you only get one wish, and that one wish, okay, the whatever you get, someone you love, the complete opposite happens to them. So whatever you wish for, the opposite happens to the person that you love, that you hold dearest to you. What are you wishing for? What is that wish? If you wish for $10 million, the person you love the most owes $10 million. Just gets hit with that tax bill, that fat federal tax bill. You owe me $10 million.
Yeah, you can always declare bankruptcy, though.
I declare bankruptcy!
I guess if I'm really thinking about it, you know, like, not to get too serious with it, but I feel like good health is such like a rarity. That's like the one thing. So I'd almost like reverse wish it. So it's like, I want to have like normal level health or something. Like, I don't want to have any enhanced health. I want to just, that's my wish, is to maintain my current level of health.
Huh.
Then therefore maybe someone that I care about would have better health. You know, I don't know if that's cheating it, but
interesting. So you're using like that. You're using the reverse psychology wish. I like it.
Mm. Yeah.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so try to make someone's life better, but not dying.
Right. As well. Sure. Sure. Yeah.
However,
yeah.
I could do that.
Okay.
Fascinating stuff.
I would go with, this is very specific to the person in question.
Mm-hmm.
Some sort of, basically I want access, streaming access or whatever to all the content, to all the movies, basically. And my lady friend doesn't care about movies. So I just, watch TV shows all day long.
The movies disappear from her life. I got it.
She just doesn't watch movies anyways. So I've just saved her from having to watch them with me and pretend that she likes them.
Yeah.
And you want like a magic Roku or something that has like everything ever made.
Yes.
I would wish to be a foot taller. Because I don't even know which one of the people I love the most. Like, the genie would only know that. So, like, I don't know. Is it my wife? Is it my mom? My dad? Like, I don't know. Is the person who I love the most dead? I don't know. Could I don't know. Who could really answer that, you know? But if my wife was a foot shorter, like, whatever. Like, okay, so you're 4'6" now, but I'm 6'7". Let's go. Let's go.
Dunking.
Yeah, I'll Hollywood, watch out, man.
Suppose there would be a lot of like sports acumen. Like, I want to be the best basketball player in the world. Because who cares if she can't play basketball? Because
now she's a basketball player.
But is that like a scenario where it's your skill and everyone's just worse than you are at that moment? You know, it's like one of those like the monkey's paw situations. Like,
that's scary.
I want to be the richest guy, but I have $10 in the bank. That means everyone has less than $10 in the bank.
Yeah, if I say like I want to be as healthy as I am now, maybe I have a cold that day, and he's like, "Fine, you're gonna have a cold forever now. Like for the rest of your life, you will continue to have this cold."
No. Oh, that's terrible.
Would you rather go up against a rhino-sized hamster, or face a legion of hamster-sized rhinos?
Hamster-sized rhinos.
Yeah, that seems like
hamsters are brutal. They like eat their bone.
Those teeth are no joke.
Yeah.
Fuck those things.
Just stomp it on rhinos, dude.
This is those little ass dumbass rhinos with their stupid horns. Like, just be like, fuck out of here with that. All right, this is a tough one. Oh wait, Mark, did you?
Oh no, I agree. Yeah, I think I have an overrated.
This is a tough one. Okay, is breakfast cereal and milk a soup?
Yes. Mm. Hot dog is a sandwich.
No.
Touché.
Absolutely not.
Not, huh?
It's a soup is the expectation is that it's going to be warm, that it's not all fluid soups. That's been heated.
Gazpacho's cold.
Well, gazpacho is not a soup, it's a gazpacho.
It's a cold tomato.
It's a chilled liquid meal. It's not a soup. A soup. What's the expectation? What's the reality? The expectation is that you're going to get a hot, heated bowl of broth and some sort of vegetable.
Let me ask you this. Forget everything you know. Pretend you are 3 years old, okay? And I say to you, all right, here is cereal soup. Here is chicken soup. Would you question it?
Nope.
No, because I'm three and I'm an idiot. You know?
Like, if you're being told it's a soup.
No, only this hot one is soup. This other one is something different. What would you call it? Anyway, all right, continue. Andy, you go.
But we know better. That's why cereal is not a soup.
No, we only know what we were told.
Hey, idiot, I don't think we know better.
Hey, it's just a joke, man.
I'm just kidding.
Can we do a show where we bring on developers, like, pairs and watch them like fight over topics until they've dissolved the relationship?
That's what Dual Screens Versus is supposed to be, but just us arguing all the time.
Yeah, the end of the episode is us legally dissolving the LLC, you know, right. Like we're done.
Would you rather lose all your fingers or all your toes?
Toes.
Toes.
Mm-hmm. Bye. I'd get rid of them right now.
Need them fingers to work.
Peace.
Yeah, I can't make games. Not easily, at least, without my fingers. So,
although at least
I need one thing to stab at something with.
Although I don't recall, I can't remember his name. This was early on, Freedom Finger. I think it was one of our first Let's Play. There was a Mark. Do you remember this guy? I think he was in Russia or something.
I don't remember where he was, but he played. Without hands and
yeah,
a mouse. He plays
games with no. He has. I don't think he has hands. I don't know that he has. That he uses his legs. He was playing like the game with like, was it like his face or something? Like it was amazing to watch.
And some contraption with a mouse on his face. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Some of these are some of the technology now is amazing. I know. Steven Spawn. He uses a hat that has sensors on it, and he goes like that. And it's all like face movements, and like he doesn't have any use of anything else. He just uses his face and it just tracks, and like he can play really, it's amazing the technology out there.
So it wouldn't be game over either way. You'd still be in it. Yeah.
You could figure it out. Snowboarding or skiing?
I don't do either. Mm-hmm. The few times in my life, I've tried both. And I generally tend to ski because I go like once every 3 years, and it's easier as a novice to ski, in my opinion, than it is to snowboard. I don't have to worry about catching an edge and whatnot. I can basically get down the hill on a pair of skis any given time. So
nice.
Same.
Yeah.
Yeah. I rarely do either. But I've done both, and having that extra,
those poles,
the poles, man, that's all the help I need.
Those will help. Yeah, sure. All right, Andy, let's get one more from you and then the ceremonial final question.
Would you rather have every shirt you ever wear from now on be itchy, or only have to use one ply toilet paper for the rest of your life?
One ply. I always wrap that up, double it up, but if I'm itchy all the time, fuck that, man.
Yeah.
Modifier.
No question.
You could use the itchy shirts to sell it.
Modifier. I'm adding a modifier to this.
Okay.
You could either have every shirt you ever wear be itchy, or every time you wipe your ass, the toilet paper shreds.
I mean, bidets are a thing, right?
They sure are. Yeah. I have one.
There's the answer.
I'm all fuck toilet paper anyways, right?
I heard that.
Savages.
Go green and just get a bidet and then the answer.
That's it.
Problem solved.
I don't disagree. All right. This is the final question. This is the most difficult question. I think Jim might have answered this question before. I don't remember.
I don't know.
We might have to go back into the archives. Go back there and find the answer, but I'm not sure. But the question, it is binary. It is a choice. There are two choices and only two choices. One is right, one is wrong, or maybe not. Maybe both are right or maybe both are wrong. It doesn't matter. And how you interpret the question is completely up to you.
Yes.
But it's a simple question. A baby can answer this question. Mm-hmm. It is very simple. You don't even have to use words. You could just grunt and point and you could figure out what the question is. But I'm just going to say the question for ease, just to make it easier for you. Okay. Remember, every guest that's ever been on our show, and there's we're at well over 200 now, have answered this question. Okay? Some have taken a cop-out.
Begrudgingly.
Some have taken a cop-out, and those are on their own special list to never be asked to be on the show again.
Oh.
So you don't want to, you want that. Or do you? We don't know. But the final question is, again, very simple. Mm-hmm. Andy or Steven?
They're lost in deep thought. I don't know.
We just have to say our answer. Can we offer any explanation to this?
You could do whatever you want, but I mean, you could give no. You could be like, oh well, I'm picking the person that I'm gonna smother with a pillow. Like it doesn't.
I'm just gonna go back and dub over the answer as both Andy. So whatever you guys want.
Yeah,
my favorite is. you know.
Perfect. You did it. Ooh, favorite. He went with favorite. You heard that, Andy? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So well, I think I work in partnerships and entertainment and with video games, mm-hmm. and it's all about balance. You need balance mm-hmm. to work with someone. You need to have kind of complementary skill sets and attitudes.
Sure.
And mm-hmm. when I try to apply my partnerships with the relationship you guys have, I think I'm more of an Andy.
Mm.
You know, I think in terms of where my head's at.
Mm-hmm.
So just looking for myself in out of the duo, I that's my answer.
That's okay. Way deeper than my answer.
So is the answer me then?
No, the answer is me. Let Mark speak.
Because you wanted somebody complimentary, not the same person.
Right, but I like myself more than
right.
I see what like, you're saying.
He sees enough of himself in you.
So you're just a thing for yourself.
He doesn't want more.
I understand. I understand. I understand now. I get it now.
Wow.
But I can appreciate what you bring to your relationship into the show as a duo. Right. So
I love this.
Still
answer.
Trying to figure out what you're bringing to this conversation. But all right, Mark. What do we got?
I wonder the same thing quite a bit.
It's great because on my screen, when you look to the side, you're looking right at Jim. So it's great. You son of a bitch.
So yeah, that was way deeper than my response. My response is I saw a cat in the back of Steven's
there it is.
Apartment. And yeah. And I'm not a cat person. So
oh, she's so cute though.
Now where's my puppy? I got a dog back here.
Oh, I have three dogs though. So
there it is.
There we go.
There it is.
That's game right.
over.
That's all right. You're allowed to sweep this one, Andy. It's fine.
I swept.
It's fine.
Oh my god.
It's fine. Honestly, after this conversation, I don't even like Jim and Mark. I don't even
sorry, man.
I could do without him.
I mean, we don't like ourselves either.
Yeah, no one likes us.
Just kidding.
we'll make another game. And, you know, we'll come back. We'll answer it again. Hey, who knows what will happen between now and then? And
it's true.
Hey, idiot. Do the housekeeping.
Oh yeah, we're getting out of here. That's gonna bring us to the end of the show. Thank you so much for listening, folks. This was a fantastic episode. I cannot wait for you guys to hear this one. If you want to follow us on social media, we are at @dual_screens on Twitter and at @dualscreens on Instagram. I am at @batchild27. Andy is at @pantsguy, and our Facebook group is facebook.com/groups/ds podcasts. Our Twitch channel is twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams, and our YouTube channel is youtube.com/dualscreenstv. And if you're watching this on YouTube, please consider giving us a subscription, a thumbs up, and leaving some comments and sharing the episode with your friends. Put it on your Facebook wall, tweet it out, all the fun stuff. Thank you so much for watching and listening, folks. Now, gentlemen, where could everybody follow the game's progress? Where could everybody follow you and all that fun stuff?
Where can they buy the game?
Where can they buy it? Yeah.
Yeah. What the Dub will be out everywhere on April 8th for $7.99. Actually, we have a launch discount on I think every platform as well. So nice. Extra incentive. But yeah, comes out April 8th. It'll be on all systems. And if you want to follow us, I am at Wide Break Games. I'm pretty much everything. And Mark is, follow his TikTok because he posts a lot more than I do and his stuff is cooler. So what's your TikTok?
TikTok is Mark Makes Games. Because I forgot Matt Makes Games was a thing, so I sound like I'm ripping that off now, but trying to be clever, and I make games, and my name's Mark, so.
Well, you nailed it. Right on the head. Right on the head. All right, folks, that's going to do it for the show. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, viewers. And as always, please be excellent to each other.